What transforms an awkward Oxford archaeologist into a legend who reshapes nations? The story of T.E. Lawrence isn't just about desert battles and political intrigue. It's about the terrible weight of broken promises and how one man's moral awakening couldn't stop the machinery of empire. When World War I erupted, the Middle East became what military planners dismissively called a sideshow of a sideshow. This neglect created something extraordinary, a power vacuum where young, untrained men operated with almost no oversight, making decisions that would normally require cabinet approval. Lawrence wasn't alone in this shadow theater. An American oil executive spied for Washington while securing petroleum rights. A German scholar incited religious warfare. A Jewish scientist built an espionage network that would help birth Israel. Together, these men drew the borders and made the promises that created today's Middle East, a region still bleeding from their choices a century later. Long before the legend, there was Ned, a small, strange child born from scandal. His father, an Anglo-Irish baronet, had abandoned aristocratic life to elope with the governess, living as Lawrence to escape disgrace. Young Ned endured his mother's harsh religious discipline and regular beatings, learning to receive them without flinching. This stoicism became training. He deliberately tested his limits through punishing bicycle journeys and self-imposed deprivation, developing supernatural tolerance for pain. At Oxford, his obsession with Crusader castles drove him to Syria in 1909, where he walked 1,000 miles alone through dangerous terrain, astonishing Arabs who couldn't fathom this thin Englishman traveling without guides. Working at Carchemish excavations, Lawrence did something radical. He befriended Arabs as equals. While other Europeans maintained strict separation from natives, Lawrence lived simply among his workers, learning their customs and language with genuine respect. This immersion gave him insights few Westerners possessed, insights that would prove invaluable when war transformed the region into a battleground. When the Ottoman Empire joined Germany in 1914, Britain saw an opportunity to dismantle Turkish power while preventing Indian Muslims from heeding the Sultan's jihad call. Through correspondence with Hussein, Sharif of Mecca, British officials pledged support for Arab independence in exchange for rebellion. Simultaneously, diplomat Mark Sykes, a charismatic aristocrat lacking real expertise, secretly negotiated with France to divide these same territories. The Sykes-Picot Agreement handed Syria to France and Iraq to Britain, leaving only desert wastelands for the Arabs. The audacity was staggering, promising freedom to allies fighting and dying for your cause while planning their subjugation. Lawrence, positioned between British command and Arab forces, gradually realized he was participating in massive fraud. The Arabs were shedding blood for independence they would never receive. This knowledge haunted Lawrence for the rest of his life, transforming him from ambitious officer to tortured accomplice in imperial deception. When Lawrence reached Arabia in 1916, the Arab revolt was collapsing. Traditional tactics failed against trained Turkish troops. Lawrence saw what others missed: attack vulnerabilities, not strengths. Instead of confronting Ottoman garrisons, he advocated guerrilla warfare, targeting the Hejaz Railway. His masterstroke came at Aqaba in July 1917. Rather than the expected naval assault, Lawrence led a small force 600 miles through the Nafud Desert, capturing the fortified port from its undefended rear with minimal casualties. This victory transformed everything. Suddenly, he commanded resources and respect. His raids tied down thousands of Turkish soldiers, yet the human cost grew unbearable. After Turks massacred villagers at Tafas in 1918, Lawrence ordered no quarter. Hundreds of retreating soldiers were slaughtered. Most traumatic was his capture at Daraa, where he endured beating and sexual assault. Something broke in Lawrence that night. He grew reckless in combat afterward, as if seeking punishment or death, while his writings revealed deepening disillusionment with the imperial project he served. By September 1918, the Ottoman Empire was collapsing. The race for Damascus became crucial. Whoever controlled Syria's ancient capital would shape its future. Lawrence understood that Arab forces needed to enter first to strengthen independence claims. In a lightning advance, he led his men toward the city while British troops pursued Turks along the coast. After discovering Turkish atrocities at Tafas, Arab forces pursued the retreating column with merciless fury, killing even those who surrendered. On October 1, Arab forces entered Damascus ahead of British troops. Lawrence quickly established a provisional government under Faisal, briefly making Arab independence seem possible. Reality shattered that hope within days. General Allenby informed Faisal that Syria would become a French protectorate. The entire Mediterranean coast would be Lebanon, leaving Syria landlocked. Every promise Lawrence had made was being broken. Exhausted and morally devastated, Lawrence requested immediate leave and departed the next day, never to return to the region that had consumed 2 years of his life. The 1919 Paris Peace Conference represented the final betrayal. Despite Wilson's rhetoric about self-determination, the conference became an imperial carve-up disguised as mandates. Lawrence arrived with the British delegation, but found himself marginalized. His advocacy for Arab independence contradicted official policy, prioritizing France and oil-rich Iraq. In 5 minutes, Lloyd George and Clemenceau decided everything. Britain takes Iraq and Palestine, France gets Syria. When the American King Crane Commission found overwhelming Arab support for independence, their report was shelved. The arbitrary boundaries drawn in Paris, ignoring ethnic, religious, and historical realities, created the problematic borders defining Middle Eastern conflicts today. Lawrence left Paris deeply disillusioned. The old men came to the peace conference and made their peace from pieces of paper without seeing what they did, he wrote. The betrayal of his promises would haunt him until his death. Lawrence spent his remaining years trying to escape his own legend. This famous war hero enlisted in the Royal Air Force as an ordinary airman under a false name, living simply and refusing to profit from his story. He died in a 1935 motorcycle accident, but the consequences of his generation's choices continue shaping our world. The artificial borders created after World War I remain largely intact, cutting across ethnic and sectarian communities. The competing promises made to Arabs and Jews evolved into the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. What distinguished Lawrence was his capacity for moral growth. Unlike contemporaries who accepted imperial projects without question, he developed critical consciousness about his role. "I had told the Arabs that England kept her word," he wrote. "In this, I was a deliberate liar." His predictions proved chillingly accurate. He warned that imposing European control would create a peace so artificial that it could not last a generation. Lawrence's story teaches us that history isn't shaped by impersonal forces alone, but by individual moral choices. When you hear about Middle Eastern conflicts today, remember they're not ancient hatreds, but modern wounds, created by broken promises, arbitrary borders, and the terrible gap between what was pledged and what was delivered. His struggle to reconcile duty with conscience remains devastatingly relevant.